Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage reveals how to live a blessed and joyful life. God loves those who are honest, humble, generous, and faithful. He will reward such people with His favor and protection. In contrast, God hates those who are wicked, proud, greedy, and dishonest. He will justly judge them with His wrath. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 11 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins today's study.
Proverbs chapter 11 this evening. Every verse in the Proverbs could be a Bible study in and of itself. So we're going to have 31 mini Bible studies tonight. A false balance or unrighteous dealings is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And the false balance here is speaking of a deception by altering the standard of either the scale or the weight that was used to measure the quantity of an item either bought or sold. When the Bible talks about something being an abomination, whatever it is, it's something that is extremely offensive, shamefully sinful to the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 23 says, "Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." Leviticus 19, 35 says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just epah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." And once again, we find here, brothers and sisters, that Christians are to be men and women of honesty, men and women of integrity. Dishonest business dealings, shady practices are an abomination to the Lord. Romans 12, 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." 2 Corinthians 8, 21, "Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." In other words, living our lives in a way to aim to be above reproach for the glory of God. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." And the kind of pride referred to here is arrogance, a smug self-satisfaction. In fact, the Hebrew word for pride means to boil or to run over. And it indicates an overwhelmingly arrogant attitude or behavior. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And what's at the top of the list? Pride and arrogancy. Just think of all of the sins that man commits. And at the top of the list is pride and arrogancy and the evil way. The froward mouth do I hate. Pride in oneself, pride in one's accomplishments, pride in one's family is dangerous when such things become more important than loving God. And such an attitude contrasts sharply with the attitude of one who reverences God by walking in humility. The Bible tells us that pride precedes a fall. How true that is. Proverbs 16, 18, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 15, 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. But with the lowly," or with the humble, "is wisdom." Micah 6, 8, we sing the song. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God." That's God's will for us, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, 5, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Let's remember that, saints. As a church family, we are to be clothed with humility, the garb of a servant. For God resists the proud. He opposes, He frustrates, and defeats them. But He gives grace to the humble. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness or the crookedness or the willful contrariness of transgressors shall destroy them. The word integrity here speaks of moral soundness. It speaks of purity. It speaks of uprightness. And again, it has the idea of honesty. A man of integrity has principles, principles that are fixed. They don't change because of the people that they are around. We're not like chameleons. Integrity and uprightness is contrasted with perverseness and crookedness. And once again, and we see this throughout the whole Bible, that godly character is more valuable to God than material wealth and riches. Proverbs 19:1 says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, the just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. God called Job a man who held on to his integrity. You see, God is more interested in our integrity, saints, than in our image. Our image is who others think we are. Integrity is who we are when we're alone and no one else is around. Riches profit not. They provide no security in the day of wrath. But righteousness delivers from death. Riches profit not in the day of wrath or in the day of judgment. And therefore, the doctrine of purgatory is a lie. You can't pay your way to heaven by paying indulgences. Riches cannot purchase the remission of sins. Riches cannot buy an escape in the day of judgment and the wrath of God. The Bible says the love of money, not the need of it. We all need money, don't we? We need money to pay bills. We need money here on earth. There's an honest way of doing that. There's this drive to pursue the God of mammon. And the Bible says, and Jesus himself said in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Now, theologically, the righteousness that you and I are to seek and that we have is the imputed righteousness that comes to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we receive Christ as Lord, we receive his righteousness that saves us from the debt of sin and from eternal separation from God. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, to justify means more than to pardon. It means more than to forgive. It means that God makes a declaration, a judicial declaration, to the effect that he has not only forgiven us, but that he now regards us as just and righteous and holy as if we never sinned at all. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how God looks at you and me tonight. That's why Paul could say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, for after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are the recipients of the imputed righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And that has and it will deliver us from death that is to come, the second death. The righteousness of the perfect, that means the blameless, not the sinless, shall direct his way or make their way plain, but the wicked shall fall by their own wickedness. It's sad when you see how many people self-destruct. The wicked fall by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness, or that can be translated, shall be taken captive by their lusts or their greedy desires. Now, righteousness here, or is meant in this context, speaks of righteous living or the right kind of living and how it directs our steps on right paths. It keeps us off the path of evil. But on the other hand, when a person walks in the ways of unrighteousness, the Bible says eventually it catches up with you. There may be pleasure in sin for a season, but when the season is over, how horrible it is. We reap what we sow, whether it's righteousness or wickedness. Paul the Apostle says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. Don't be deluded. Don't be misled. God is not mocked. He's not scorned. He's not disdained. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I read this quote this week. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perishes. There is no hope at all for a person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. It's not just believing in God. You know that. Only a fool would say in his heart that there is no God. There's a lot of people that believe in God. The real question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? That he is the Son of God. There's no hope for the wicked person. Isaiah 57, 21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Matthew Henry wrote, when a godly man dies, all his fears vanish. But when a wicked man dies, his hopes vanish, and his worst fears materialize. The wicked man dies. His expectations shall perish. What a hope we have tonight. We have hope. You know, we're all reading or listening to the same newscasts and seeing how it seems like things are getting worse by the hour. It used to be by the year or by the decade. Now it seems like every hour. And yet we have this blessed hope tonight, saints. And the world is spinning like a top out of control. Sin is insane and the world has gone mad. And yet here we have an opportunity to stand like lights for Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed to be ambassadors of hope, ambassadors of life. There's a lot of wickedness going on in this world. But the hope of the wicked will perish. Verse 8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh into his stead. We see this happening when the Israelites were crossing the Red Sea, how the Lord delivered them by parting the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians took their place in the Red Sea. We see this happening when Haman built the gallows to hang Mordecai on, only to end up hanging himself. We see this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were spared in the fiery furnace while those who cast them in were consumed by the heat. It's just like it says, the righteous are delivered out of trouble. There's a lot of troubles in this world. The Lord promises us that he will deliver. He will deliver us. The ultimate trouble is going to be when a man breathes their last breath. And then what? We've been delivered from that fear. We're going to inherit the oxygen of heaven when we breathe our last breath. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. We can hang on to that because that's a promise that God has given to us. Doesn't mean that we will escape persecution or that we will escape difficulty or that we would escape hardships, but there's a deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, everything in this time continuum is going to end. Because of faith in Christ, we're going to enter into that kingdom forever and ever, always dwelling with the Lord, beholding his beauty, beholding his glory. That's what lies ahead for you and I. And in this world, we're soldiers, aren't we? We're an army. And we've been placed on earth for such a time as this to be a witness of Jesus Christ. That beautiful promise that because of Christ, we will be delivered out of trouble. A hypocrite, the ESV says, a godless man with his mouth destroys his neighbor from the infection that comes out of his mouth. But through knowledge or discernment shall the just be delivered. And once again, we've seen this already. We see it all the way through the Proverbs. We see how words can be used to destroy other people. And the definition of a hypocrite here is a deceiver or a godly person who pretends friendship, but privately they're an enemy. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, says one thing to their face, another thing behind their back, but through knowledge, the knowledge of God, the just shall be delivered. A lot to be said. We could speak for a whole month, every day of the month, just on what the Bible says about the tongue, how evil it is, and yet how mighty it is, how powerful it is. Words are so powerful, very powerful. You know that, and I know that. James 3 talks about the fire from hell, how it's so different than the fire of Pentecost. Praising God and Pentecost, slandering, backbiting, whispering, gossiping. In James chapter 3. And he's writing that to a congregation, to the 12 tribes who were scattered abroad, the first fruits, the Jews who were saved. And he's telling them, one of the first letters that were written in the New Testament, he's telling the church, watch your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth is a barometer of what's going on in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth does speak. But sometimes when it speaks, another proverb says, it says something, but inside it means something else. Lord, set a watch upon our mouth, keep the door of our lips. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. The word despises can be translated, or is translates, belittles, gossips, slanders. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, belittles them, gossips about them, slanders them. The Family Bible note says this: true self-knowledge makes us forbearing in speaking of the faults of others. The man who busies himself in publishing his neighbor's failings thereby proclaims his own folly. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes we just talk too much. It's better to keep our lips closed than to think we always have to say something. It's better to keep your mouth shut and have people think you're a fool than open up your mouth and dispel all of their doubts. I heard that said years ago. More than likely, I needed to hear that. Verse 13, a talebearer. The word talebearer there actually is a description of the walking busybody. And now, in this day and age, we have cell phones. We can actually do that. Hey, Angel. How's it going, brother? Hey, did you see Brother Tony last night? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're walking around. What are you doing? I'm walking, Angel. I'm getting my exercise. The talebearer, the walking busybody, reveals secrets, things confided in him or her. Did you ever tell something to somebody and tell them, don't tell everybody? Or don't tell anybody, only to find it blasted on Facebook? How did that get out? How did that get around? A talebearer reveals secrets. Be careful who you tell confident things. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Now, that word talebearer in the Hebrew means a dispenser of gossip and scandal. Don't go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Notice there's the talebearer, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. A faithful or trustworthy person is an individual that when you tell them something and you say it's confidential, it remains confidential. Now, I would say this, that there may be times when somebody tells you something that is confidential, but if you know that someone is in danger and they need to be helped or you need to step in, then I think that there are times when you need to step in. A faithful spirit conceals a matter. It stays there. And you know what they do with it? Instead of telling others about it, they go to the Lord about it. You see, you can do all of the gossiping in the world on your knees. And God knows how to deal with it. And he will deal with it. And he'll begin by dealing with you, dealing with your heart. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Again, Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 24:6. By wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors, there is safety. One of the best ways of understanding the scripture or seeking to know what it means is by allowing scripture to interpret scripture. And here we find the value of getting wise, good counsel. John Corson wrote this: when men climb mountains, they rope themselves together. That way, if one person slips, the others can pull him back up and continue on. So too, we need to be linked to other brothers and sisters. Don't be a lone ranger in your ministry or in your walk with the Lord. Be open to receiving counsel and input from others. We're told that over and over. A wise man receives instruction. A wise man will receive correction. We all need it, don't we? But we get so touchy feeling. But we need to be able to speak the truth in love with one another, building one another up. I would only add that when it comes to counsel, make sure that the counsel that you're getting is not this cycle babble, unbiblical, unholy counsel, but counsel that is biblical. Counsel that finds its origin in the Word of God. Because bad counsel can destroy you. Unholy counsel can destroy you. The Bible warns us about the counsel of the wicked. We need the counsel of God. We need to learn how to counsel one another with the counsel of God. Going to the Lord, seeking His face, seeking from the Word of God the wisdom that we need. And if you and I pray, if we ask God for wisdom, He will give it to us, won't He? You see, the problem is, well, maybe not yours, mine is, it's 7:46. If I pray right now, I want God to give me an answer by 7:47 because I'm just too stinking hyper. I need to hear now. And sometimes you need to pray on a situation instead of acting knee-jerk or impulsively or quickly. I love the Proverbs, how we can grow in our walk with the Lord and our fellowship with one another. How to talk, how to deal with confidential information. People's lives get destroyed when something is said in confidence and then it gets out. And there goes integrity, and the name of Christ is drawn through the mud. God help us. Verse 15, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hates suretyship is sure. In other words, he who co-signs loans for people he doesn't know or people who are not responsible, that's not exercising wisdom. Be sure you know a person well enough before you vouch for their credit. It's better to refuse than to suffer later. We're warned against this over and over in Proverbs. Proverbs 22, 26, and 27. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debts. If you have nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? But on the other hand, talk about being surety. Let's consider the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says in Hebrews 7, 22, Jesus made a surety, himself a surety of a better testament. He paid a debt that we do not owe. That's why we're forgiven. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.